16, here, Acts 16, beginning with verse 1. Bill, wait, with verse 1, please.
Then came to be Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek.
Verse 2, Mom, please.
Which was very poured out by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium.
Then would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, where they knew that his father was a Greek.
And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the diseases to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, pardon me, the decrees for to keep, which were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. Okay, so we have these first four verses here. Acts 16 is a pivotal book, because in here we see that the Lord uses these men to and directs these men as far as where he is going to send them, whether to Asia or to Europe. And we see that the Holy Spirit directs them over to Europe. He pulls them away from the Asia Minor aspect. He'll direct them over here to this area rather than to, you know, this area. Up in this area, or in, maybe even beyond, and so because this is Asia Minor here, this region here is considered Asia Minor down here in the lower parts of it, this someplace around this area here is like the Asia Minor. This over here is kind of Europe, and over here begins to be where Asia is.
This is
Macedonia. That's right. This is Macedonia. That's where they're going to go today. The Macedonian vision from over here at Troas. He's going to have the Macedonian vision. He says, come over here to Macedonia and help us. Troas is right there. The Macedonia is over here. Philippi. He's right up there. So, we see here that Timothy, two things we know about Timothy, that he was the... His mother was a Jewess, and his father was a Greek. His mother was a Jewish, and his father was a Greek. And so, from two different cultures. But yet, we have here Timothy, still being someone who's a man that's being used by God. Verse 2, Bill. Question 2.
What did the brethren of Lystra and Iconium think of Timotheus? He was well reported of.
Yes, he was. He was well reported of. So, in spite of the fact of coming from a father who's a Greek and a mother who's a Jewess, then yet he was still well reported of among those in that area. Bill.
That may have seemed a little strange to many of the other Jews, because Jews aren't supposed to marry Gentiles.
That's right. Mm-hmm. No, they're not. It would seem very strange in any of the Jewish cultures at any time periods of history. Question 3. Mom, please.
To where did Paul take Timotheus? And what did the Jews know about Timotheus' father? Took
Timothy with him,
Paul did. And well, we know
that
Timothy's father was a Greek, but I can't read my writing.
Okay. And see, because of the fact that, because the reason why...
Well, he took him where Paul went.
Yes, that's right. But you see, they realized his father was a Greek, and so they suspected, and they suspected correctly, that because of that, the father was not necessarily going to obey Jewish custom. Which Jewish custom was to circumcise the male children on the eighth day. And so Paul wanted to follow this Jewish custom. Now, it seems as though we just had this big discussion in the couple cities back when the Jerusalem Council, Jerusalem is way down here in the southern part of Israel.
What's
Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem up from Antioch down to Jerusalem to have this council as far as what they should do. Should we keep the law of Moses or not? And it was determined, no, we shouldn't keep the law of Moses. But here Paul basically is observing part of the law of Moses. And so that's where he was taken. And so we see that these decrees, they delivered the decrees that were ordained by the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. So here, from Jerusalem, we see that these decrees are being delivered. Bill, go ahead and read verse 5, please.
And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily.
Verse 6, please.
Now, when they had gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia,
after they were come to Lucia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. All right, so the churches, the way they increased, we see in verse 5, the churches were established. They were established in the faith, and they increased daily number. All churches today must be established in faith, the faith, a specific body of doctrine that's based upon the words of God, the Word of God. They have to be established. If a church is not established in the faith, if a church does not remain in the faith, then it will, if it's established in the faith, then there will be an increase. If a church fails to be established in the faith, then eventually there will be a decrease. There could be an appearance of an increase in numbers, but from a spiritual sense, there will be a decrease. You could have these churches that are not established, have no establishment in the faith, and eventually they will go away. They will fall by the wayside. And Bill, do question 6, please.
Where did the Holy Ghost prohibit them to preach the word in Asia?
Okay, in Asia, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach in Asia. Now, they says they've gone through Pergia here. Now, Pergia, I think, is this region or this part. I had it earlier over here. Let me see if I can find it one more time. Perga, is that the same place? Yep.
Hello? Good.
I'm sorry, guys. Here's Perga.
I didn't understand
now,
what you said.
Here is the Phrygia. Right there, here's Phrygia.
Yeah.
And they were forbidden.
They were
forbidden by the Holy Ghost to go here. And so instead of going through Phrygia, because Phrygia, if you notice here, Phrygia here is in the region of Asia, of Asia Minor. That's where they were in this region of Asia of Asia Minor in Phrygia. And so the Holy Ghost they wanted to go there. They wanted to go there, but they Phrygia. They wanted to go to Phrygia, but the Holy Spirit prevented them from going to Phrygia, right here. And they wanted to go there, but they were prevented by the Holy Spirit to go to Phrygia, because that's over here in this Asia part. Verse six. So And so we see here, instead of going to Phrygia, they went to Mysia. They came to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And so we see this is all part of their journey, which is of where they want to go. And so then they and they came ultimately to Troas. So we see where they were going, their track. What time am I looking for here? I had it in earlier today, but I am. Mysia and Bithynia. Okay, so.
Bithynia is a region, I believe.
Yes, you're right. Bithynia is a region.
I had lost Bithynia. Oh, I see it. Mysia.
Here's Bithynia. Up here, I think. Okay.
Why?
And that's. They were. That's the direction they wanted to go, but here's. But the spirit suffered them not, and so we see. Do we have an extra piece of paper here? Can somebody? Do we have an extra to 16 back there or not? Or is there nothing back there?
Yes. Well, I don't know.
One, maybe Caroline wants one, and Brian may want one, right, Caroline?
15.
Okay, we have to make a copy of Of 16. Somebody, let me.
Well, I have one with answers.
That's fine. That'll be helpful for Caroline, right, Caroline? Good to see you, Brian. Thanks for coming. I appreciate it. Good to see you, Faith, too. And so, we see, Faith, you want to do question 8, please?
Question 8?
Yes.
To what city did they come after they passed by on a map of Pants at Mycenae?
Yeah, that's good.
Acts
16:8,
and I have here Troas.
Okay, Troas. So, here's Troas. Right here is Troas on the map. And so they passed by up in their journey. They came to Troas. Now Troas, as we see here, we have a church. Apparently, we have a church being established there in Troas. But while they're in Troas, we'll see what happens next. Well, let's begin with reading verses 9 and following. Brian, there's an extra Bible under the seat someplace, either. In front of your... Oh, you got one right there. Good. Got one right there.
1459.
Okay. This is he's got a different edition. He's got a electronic Bible.
Oh, okay.
Bill, verse 9. Then Brian, you can read verse 10.
And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed and said, come over into Macedonia and help me. Help us.
And Brian, read verse 10.
And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them.
All right, Faith, verse 11.
Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis.
Okay. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days.
By the Sabbath, coming out of the city by a riverside, the prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which was ordered thither.
And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So, we see, when Paul has this vision. In the vision, the man of Macedonia, and again, Paul is here at Troas, and the man is, in the vision here, is in the province of Macedonia, right here in Philippi is where they went, and so this is where the vision was, the man of Macedonia, and so he comes to Macedonia. He has this vision, And it was the vision came at nighttime, and we see the man of Macedonia saying, come on over to Macedonia and help us. Philip, verse 10, please. Question 10, rather.
To where did they go after Paul's vision? They went to Macedonia.
They went to Macedonia. And again, Macedonia is this greater region here in this green area here. That's where Macedonia is. And so we see we see here that they went to Macedonia, and so they departed from Troas. That's where they were before. And so again, this is a loose from Troas, meaning, and Troas is here. It's a coastal city. They loose from Troas. In other words, it's on. They came. Took a boat. Took a vessel. And they came across up to Macedonia. And so that's how they got to Macedonia. They didn't walk up on the land and take some bridge, but they took a vessel. They loose from Troas and went over from Troas over here to Macedonia. They went to Macedonia. This green area right here. So Brian, New Carolina, you get question 12.
What is the chief city of Macedonia?
Yes.
Is it Philippi?
Yeah, it's Philippi. Philippi. And Philippi is chief city. It's one of the chief cities of Macedonia. Probably Philippi and probably Thessalonica are the two chief cities, two largest cities there in the region of Macedonia. And Philippi is one of the chief cities there in Macedonia. And so if we look in look over here to this next just a moment here. Over there to verse 13. You see, what was taking place by the riverside? So there was a riverside up here in Philippi, and there were women that were holding a prayer meeting there. And so when they came from Troas to Philippi, they encountered a group of women by the riverside. Where prayer says the scriptures where prayer was wont to be made, and so they spake unto the women that were there at the river. They spake unto the women that were there at the river, and so the thinking is, you know, the thinking is that there was not enough people to form a synagogue. Now, namely, this is extra biblical tradition. There was need of 10 men to form a synagogue. Now, it doesn't say here in Acts 16, and it doesn't really matter if it was a synagogue or not. But the point is that these women were there by the riverside, they were praying, and Paul comes. They were praying on the Sabbath day, and Paul comes, and Silas, and they speak to the women. Now, Faith, you want to do question 14, please?
Did you skip Caroline?
No, Caroline answered with the base together. She's giving away the answers right now.
Whose heart had the Lord opened? And what else does one read of her? Acts 16, 14. And I have Lydia, and she attends to things spoken to her.
Yes. She was a seller of purple. And she was from the city of Thyatira. Thyatira was one of the seven churches of Asia. Again, we know here that this pink area here is Asia, and the seven right there is Thyatira. That's where Lydia was from. If you look in the Book of Revelation, we'll know that Lydia was one of the seven churches of the Book of Revelation. So Lydia was from Thyatira. From that, what's that? Oh, Philippi is right here. You see, Troas is here, Philippi is there, and then Lydia was from a little bit in like Thyatira, right there. She was from Thyatira, and she was a seller of purple. Now, it's believed that purple is a dye that could be always extracted from some type of sea fish, some type of crayfish, or some type of sea creature. So some type of shellfish. It was very hard to get the fish. And it's very challenging to extract the dye. Whatever dye you extract, you didn't get very much. And so in other words, you had to have a lot of effort getting the crayfish, shellfish, whatever kind of fish it was. And there was a lot of effort to get the dye. And so consequently, the cost of the dye was expensive. We take for granted. I mean, we have this purple on today. We got people with purple. I don't have any purple on. But we have people all the time that wear purple. And we don't think about it because it's more readily available today. All colors are very readily available today. But in this time period, the purple was not readily available. It was very, very costly. And so since she sold the purple, the implication is, you know, she was able to have a good commission. And so she was better off than a lot of people because of the business she was in. She was a seller of purple. Jill.
Rare and costly because it symbolized royalty also?
Yeah, it would symbolize royalty. I mean, perhaps that's why it symbolized royalty, Jill, because it's costly. And only the royalty would have it because it's costly. That's a good. I mean, there's probably other reasons as well, but that's a good observation. Let's let me see who's mom is serving green with verse 15, please.
15.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, read the question first. Read the verse. Please read the verse. Read verse 15. I'm mixed up too.
And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us.
And it came to pass as we went to prayer, certain damsel possessed with the spirit of beauty from Mass, which brought from Asher much gain by soothsaying.
The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation."
And they did, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And it came out of her the same hour. Bill, read verse 7. Yes, please.
And when her master saw that hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers.
Okay. And Brian, verse 20, please.
And brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city."
In faith, verse 21, please.
"And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, either to deserve or neither to observe, being Romans."
And we see when we in verse 15, we notice the fact that they are having this discussion with Lydia and the women who are meeting there in Philippi by the riverside. They were meeting there in Philippi by the riverside, and they were having this discussion with them. And Lydia understood the gospel. She understood the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. She understood that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And there are people today that do not accept that. People don't even believe that there's a creator. But Lydia had some background in the Old Testament, enough background in the Old Testament to know there's a God, know there's a Creator, and understand the fact that the Bible in the Old Testament was promised in Messiah, and then the Holy Spirit worked in her heart so that she believed that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, Thomas said that in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, that's Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So Lydia understood this, and so she was baptized and her household, because her household also believes. The baptism does not save. And so after she was baptized, after she believed, she constrained the apostles, the disciples, Paul, Silas and company, and Luke probably, and whoever else was with them, to come into her house. Apparently she had a house there in the Philippi region. She originally was from, again, as we remember, from Thyatira. But she was there in Philippi, so I suspect she had a home there in Philippi as well. Now, Jill, please take verse 16. I mean, question 16.
What did the damsel do to her master? 2. When did Paul meet her? one, brought them much to him by soothsaying, and two, as the people went to pray.
All right, so we see here that in verse 16, again, refreshing ourselves, we have refreshing what we've talked about here. We have Paul is there in Troas. He wants to go up to this region, but yet the Spirit suffers him not. He wants to go up here. The Spirit says, no, Paul, don't do that. And then at the same time, he's got this vision from Macedonia. The Macedonian vision says, come over to Macedonia, help us. He goes over there, he meets Lydia and all the women there, and maybe a few men that are there by the riverside praying on the Sabbath day. Lydia accepts the gospel. She receives the gospel. She brings him into her house. And then the next day or so, we see them out in the marketplace, and we see this damsel interacting with them. Tammy.
At that time, they had visions, and perhaps this was an answer to the prayer that Lydia had.
Yes.
But they don't have visions anymore.
No, that's correct. Visions stopped at the completion of the Bible. When the Bible was finished in 90 to 100 AD, when the canon was completed, the New Testament was completed, Old Testament was already done. Old Testament was finished, you know, before the time of Christ. And then 100 years after the death of Christ, we have the New Testament being completed. But in that transitional time period, we have visions, we have special signs and wonders being done. But when that which was perfect was come, meaning the Scripture, and that which is in part, the signs and wonders, all these sign gifts, were done away with. And so, as Tammy observed, likely, you know, Paul coming to Philippi is an answer to the prayer of Lydia. Or to perhaps other people there that were praying for something. But definitely we see Lydia praying there. And so we see the fact that they're there in Philippi now. That we see here in this next verse. In verse 16, we have this woman, this young woman that's possessed of demons, of devils, and we see what she cries out. She comes, she sees Paul, she sees Silas, and the men that were with her, and she follows after them, and she says, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." She knew, in her possessed state, she knew. And was able to properly identify Paul and Silas and all, if anyone else was with him, but Paul and Silas for sure were there. And she properly identified them. The question is, can people properly identify us that way? This woman was possessed by evil spirits. But there should be some characteristics in our own lives that should cause us to be able to be identified by others, as servants of the Most High God. Mom, will you take question 18, please?
Why did Paul command the evil spirits to do? What did Paul command the evil spirits to do? Paul was upset.
And she was upset over her behavior, so he commanded her.
The evil spirit come out of
it. Yes, and that should be what? Thank you, Tammy. It should be what? Verse question 18. Now the evil spirits, you know, came out of her, and you see, this woman, young woman, was being abused and was being used by her masters. She had someone else that was managing her of some sort. And they were making money from her soothsaying. And now that the evil spirits have departed from her, they were not able to make any money from her soothsaying because she was free from those evil spirits. And so the masters were very upset with Paul and Silas, and so they drew them into the marketplace trying to get the people to take their side. They were there in the marketplace trying to sympathize with their position and their plight that they were going through. Jill, please take question 20.
To whom did the owners of the young women take Paul and Silas? To the magistrates.
Yeah. So he said they took him to the magistrates, and yeah, as though some crime had been done. They took them to the magistrates as though a crime had been done. And so the owner, the so-called owners of this young woman, they came and they say, you know, it's not lawful. They're teaching us customs. They're saying things. They're talking about this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, way over there, way over here, and way across and from the other region of the other side of the Mediterranean, how he was the Savior of the world, he's the Son of God, how men must repent of their sins and be saved. And these owners were trying to convince the magistrates that they were doing something wrong, that they were doing something that they shouldn't be doing, as though they're committing some crime or some violation of some code of the city of Philippi. And their main concern was they have to teach you customs which are not lawful to observe being Romans. Again, this part of the world is in the Roman Empire. You know, Philippi was part of the Roman Empire. Here's Roman Empire, Romans there, right there. It doesn't even begin to cover the Roman Empire, stopping here. But Philippi there is in the Roman Empire, and the so-called owners of this young woman were very, very upset. Not because it took away their income. It took away their source of income. They were exploiting this young woman who was possessed by evil spirits. Let's read some more. I'll start with verse 22 here, and we can read through some of these other verses. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates ran off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Bill, verse 23, please.
And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely.
And Brian, verse 24, please.
Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks.
Faith, 25, please.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
And 26,
and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed.
And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison door opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled.
But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here."
All right, so going back to verse 22, we see the magistrates, they rent off their clothes. This is the clothes of Paul and Silas. They tore off their clothes and they proceeded that they'd be beaten. Now, that which was a mistake, but anyway, that's what they commanded because they're Romans.
Can we ask a little
they're Romans.
To be quiet?
No, she'll be okay. She's making some comments about this.
Yeah, and she's making it clear for us.
But she's not going to be quiet.
Is that right, Caroline?
She keeps saying yes.
Right. She has a lot of comments to make. Supplemental comments. And so we see. It says, I think it's the other side of it, but slow. Yeah, we are. But the cap's on the other side. And so we see here that they commanded that the clothes be removed. Or actually, they were commanded to rent the clothes off and to beat them. Now, we see in verse 23 that after they were beaten, they were given the responsibility of a jailkeeper, and he was given the charge to keep them safely. Now, Tammy, verse question 24, please.
What did the jailkeeper do with Paul and Silas? He commanded them to be beaten. Is that what he wanted?
Yes,
24?
Right.
I thought we talked about
that. Maybe we did. But anyway, in verse 23, they keep safely. In verse 24, Did you do question 24, Tammy? Okay. Yes. So he made their feet fast as stocks. He put them their feet in the innermost prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So they weren't going any place. They were going to the inner part of the prison, and their feet were fast.
I did 22.
In the stocks.
Sorry.
It's okay. Fast in the stocks. You want to try 25? Question 25, Tammy?
No, I just
moved them. Okay, not a problem. And so we see what's happening here at midnight. Paul and Silas have been beaten, they've been put their feet up in fast in stocks, and we see at midnight, in the middle of the night, Paul and Silas were singing praises to God, and there's other prisoners who were there in the prison, and the prisoners are hearing them. Is that right, Caroline? The prisoners are hearing them. They were listening. The prisoners weren't singing themselves. They were listening to the singing of Paul and Silas, and they heard them. The prisoners heard them. And so, Bill, do our question 26, please.
What resulted from the great earthquake? All the cell doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed.
Okay, so again, the time of the evening, the time of night was midnight. I'm usually asleep at midnight. Not all the time, but usually I'm asleep at midnight. And this great earthquake, before the great earthquake, we had the singing of Paul and Silas. The prisoners are hearing Paul and Silas sing. And there's this great earthquake. So great that the bands, they snap off their feet, their hands, and the doors pop open. Must have been a tremendous earthquake. I mean, we've had some earthquakes. There was one earthquake back in 2011 or 2012. No, was that right? 2011, 2012 in this region. Maybe it was 2012, I remember. I was in an auditorium in 2012, and there was this earthquake. And it was like very peculiar because I'm not in very many earthquakes. But the doors didn't pop open. You know, the building didn't collapse. Tammy, your thoughts?
Well, we were in the theater, so we thought it was a theatrical stunt.
Yes, we were at the campus of Rutgers University listening to a presentation by one of the deans of one of the schools, or I'm not sure, the College of Arts and Sciences, or could have been that dean. And she was giving their presentations, all the big, you know, they had the provost there and some other people there, and they were giving their presentation, trying to get our students to come to their school. And so since it was in their auditorium where they did their plays and stuff, at first, you know, maybe some people thought, oh, well, this is just part of their what's the word you use, Tammy?
Theatrical.
Kind of special effects, the theatrical special effects.
Sometimes you can get a theater where it's floor shakes.
Exactly. So, but then eventually in time we figure out, no, this isn't any special effects. This is an actual earthquake, a 6-point whatever earthquake it was. Did they say what?
That this is not a special effect, this is an earthquake.
No, I asked.
Right.
Oh, I thought it was a special
effect. It was not a special effect.
Bill.
Did Caroline start talking at that time?
No, she was quiet. She wasn't around then. That was before her time. Right, Caroline? 2012 was before your time. Yep. And so we see. Notice here in verse 27. We see the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep. Now, he wasn't supposed to be sleeping, I don't think. It's possible, I don't think he was supposed to be sleeping when he was doing this job. Awaking out of his sleep, he saw the prisoners open, and he saw that everyone's bands were loose. And so, he was concerned. So he drew out his sword. And the reason he was going to draw his sword, he drew out his sword to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had gone. Now, a normal prisoner, in a normal situation, if the bands come off, the doors open, the prisoners are more likely to leave. But in this instance, and we see this later on in the book of Acts, when Paul is on his journey to Rome, a very similar situation with him when the ship is, he's on a boat that's wrecked. The soldiers want to kill all the prisoners because they don't want any of them to escape. because if a prisoner escaped, then they would be their own lives will be responsible. We see that back in the previous chapters or so with Herod, when Peter escaped, when Peter was let free from the prison, the guards that watched him were executed because they let somebody escape. And so the jailkeeper here, the Philippian jailer, was trying, he was shocked and he was saying, my life is over with, so he's going to kill himself. It's possible that in their killing, in their execution, they weren't as merciful as it was with an execution. And so that's what the prisoner wanted to do. He wanted to kill himself because he saw the prisoners open and he saw everyone's bands were loose because he had the wrong supposition. He thought that everyone had escaped. Let me see here. Brian, question 28, please.
That's question 28?
Yes.
Who cried with a loud voice, and what did he cry? Paul, and do thyself no harm, for we are all here.
Yes, that's right. So Paul cried with a loud voice. He said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. That's Paul could see that. He saw through the shadow. Somehow he knew exactly what the prison keeper was going to do. And he says, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Faith, let's pick up with reading verse 29 and following.
And he pulled for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas.
He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.
And they spake to him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house.
And it took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway.
And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his heart.
All right, so we see here in verse 29, we see these four things that the jailkeeper did. He called for a light. He sprang in. He came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Paul and Silas. And so, Faith, question 30, please.
What important question did the keeper of the prison ask? Acts 16:30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved?
And so we see here the jailkeeper is asking the same question. I mean, we don't know what Lydia said there by the riverside. But we do know that the jailkeeper, he says, what must I do to be saved? So he must have known some things were going on in the city. Clearly he did. As far as these men, Paul and Silas, they were men who knew what the gospel was. They knew what the answer of what salvation was. And so they asked this question, what must I do to be saved? And the response was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now it's the thinking of the time. The thinking of the time is jail guards many times were retired Roman soldiers. In many instances, not in every single instance, probably, but in many instances. So if they were retired soldiers, then that means they weren't young soldiers. They weren't young people. They were not younger. They would have been older if they were retired soldiers. And the reason why that's important is because if they were older, that means their children, the people in their house, will be older as well. You know, baptismal regeneration. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. Baptism does not save. Water does not save. But we see here that he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, Mom, take question 32, please.
32?
Yes.
What did Paul and Silas speak unto the keepers of the prison and unto the keep of his household. The word of the Lord.
Yes, it's by the word of the Lord. You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. You have to have the scripture. In order for someone to become a believer, in order for someone to be saved, they have to have the scripture. They must have the scripture. You must give them the scripture. You must give them the gospel and the words of God. They can't be saved any way else. It's by faith. Salvation is by faith. It's by grace. It's through Christ. But that all is based upon what the Word of God says. And so we see two things happen here. The jailkeeper washed the stripes of Paul and Silas because they were beaten. And the reason, again, don't forget why they were beaten, because they cast out the evil spirit from the young woman who was a soothsayer and took away all the gains, all the profit from her so-called masters. And also, they were baptized. He was baptized. He and all straightway. All those that were in his house that heard and accepted the gospel were baptized in outward representation of what became of the death, representing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It's an outward representation. Baptism is. So what happens is a testimony identifying with Christ by being baptized in deep water, by being immersed in deep water. Jill, question 34, please.
Where did the keeper of the prison take Paul and Silas into his house?
Yeah, he took him right there in his own house. He gave him some food to eat, and he was rejoicing and believing in God with all his house, changing from night to darkness, this jailkeeper. Just at the end of the night, the beginning of the day, at midnight, his life changed. Let's we can read verse 35 here. And when it was day, the magistrate set the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go."
And the keeper of the prison told this young this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace."
All right, Brian, verse 37.
But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us and openly condemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out of prison? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out."
Verse 38, Jill. Faith, I'm sorry.
And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans.
And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to be part of the city.
And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed.
All right, so we see here that there's these specific instructions. The sergeants come and they give the magistrates. Tell the sergeants, go to the jail and tell them to let these men go. Now we have to understand what's happening here. We see they were openly beaten. They were openly condemned because of the fact that they helped and they released the evil spirit. They cast out the evil spirit that was possessing this young woman. They cast her out. And because of that, her owners were upset, beat them, and gave them to the jailkeeper eventually, and were put in the prison. And now they want to have them released. They said, "Good." We see here that who goes first? We have the magistrates talk to the sergeants, go talk to the jail people and jailers, and let these people go. Now, Tammy, do question 36, please.
Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. The keeper of the prison.
Now, the keeper of the prison. Now,
he's passing
he's passing the message along. Now, when Paul hears this, he says, they have beaten us openly and condemned being Romans. Now, those were the words that the keeper of the prison didn't want to hear. The magistrates didn't want to hear, nor the sergeants, the word being Romans. And they said they thrust us up privately. You know, they said, no, let them come and get us. Let them come and get us. Bill, do question 38, please.
What brought fear upon the magistrates? Well, that was the knowledge that Paul and Silas were Romans.
Yes, that's right. Because they knew if they weren't Romans, if they were just down here from Cyrene or someplace other, some other part of the world, it wouldn't matter. They could do whatever they want to them. Because they don't care. But being Romans, Romans had certain rights. Now, if you have a comment or question, Caroline, you have to raise your hand. That's right, they were concerned because they were Romans. Now, and so eventually the magistrates come, and they convince them, they desire, and they just leave. They go out of the city, and so that's what they eventually did. Brian, question 40, please.
Where did Paul and Silas go? The house of Lydia.
Yes, they went to the house of Lydia. Again, Lydia, we know that she was there. The first woman converts there in Philippi. Paul was over in Troas. He said they got the vision, Macedonian vision, come over to Macedonia and help us. He went over to Philippi here, and they met Lydia and the other woman there. She was the first woman believer there in Philippi. And it's Jailer that we know of, and there are probably other women that became believers as well, by name. And the next person that we know that Paul had an encounter with was the Philippian Jailer. But there were others as well. Because we know that there was eventually a church that was established there in Philippi, there in Macedonia. Faith, question 41, please.
41 says, write Acts 16:29-31. I didn't write the whole thing, but I have it up here about the jailer. He called for light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.
This is still true today. That's how people are saved, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, question 42, Mom, please.
Where in the book of Acts is one read of the murmurings of the Grecians against the Hebrews, and why would they murder them? Acts 5, they contrived to lie about the gift of God.
Okay, and so if the verse says, is that question 42?
Yes.
And in those days, this is Acts 6, verses 1 to 4. And in those days, the number of disciples were multiplied. There was murmurings of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not a reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministering of the word. So it's Acts chapter 6, and the reason is because the widows were neglected in the daily administration. Jill, question 43, please.
I did only one question. I had a chance to do the other question. I only did 44.
Okay, we'll let you do 44, Jill, and we get to it. You want to do 44 now? Read 44 and do it now.
Okay, sure. Where in the book of Acts does one read of a jailer being scalped from killing himself? And two, why did this jailer want to do that? One, Acts 16:27-28. And two, because he saw the prison doors open and supposed that the prisoners had been fled.
All right. And Tammy, you want to do to help us out with the verse, question 43, please.
Number 43, in what chapter of the book of Acts does Scripture record the contention between Peter and the Jews living in Jerusalem? That was Acts 11, verses 2 and 3. It was when he was actually rehearsing what had happened with Cornelius.
Yes.
And what was the cause of this contention? Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. That's the quote from verse 3,
yes. Acts 11:3, that's where that's from. Bill, question 45, please.
I didn't do it.
Okay. All right.
I've been tired all week.
Not a problem. That's understandable. In what chapter of the book of Acts does Peter have a discussion about the price of a piece of land? And what are the names of the two primary people to whom he was speaking? And it's in Acts chapter 5, and that's in Sapphira, in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 and following. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession. He kept back a part of the price of his wife, being also privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said unto Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that believed. Okay, so, see.
Dr. Dean, what's the story?
Acts 5.
Acts 5 was the answer for question 45?
Yes, for question 45, it's Acts chapter 5.
Acts 5.
Okay. Acts 5, and it's because of Ananias and Sapphira were the people that were involved in it. Brian, question 46, please.
Where in the book does Acts, does one read of Peter's testimony of the vision he had upon Simon's rooftop in Joppa? And two, to whom did he give his testimony? One is Acts 11:4-10. Well, that's what it looks like. It looks like a one scribbled group. And two is those of the curriculum in Jerusalem and the Christians.
That's good. Acts 11, yeah. What's that? Acts 11. Those are the circumcision. Oh. That's right. Acts 11.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and to eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning. This is going back. The matter of chapter 10, the book of Acts. Chapter 10, the book of Acts, when Peter was with Cornelius. And he too had a vision. But he was down in Joppa. I believe Peter was in Joppa for his vision down here. We have Paul today, and his vision is in Troas. And so that's the answer. Chapter 11. Let me see. Faith, you want to do question 47, please?
What chapter of the book of Acts are the events surrounding Jerusalem Council recorded? What was the conclusion of the council? Well, it was 6 and 7, and it was about Stephen, and it concluded with them having Stephen stoned to death.
Okay, that in chapter 6 and in 7 when we have Peter, Stephen being stoned, yes, they did have a council. I mean, maybe my question wasn't specific enough.
Oh, I have
but,
chapters, okay.
But that's okay, because it's there was a council that they did meet the leadership of in Jerusalem. In fact, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem met, and they were upset. They're always trying to resist the gospel. People are always trying to resist the gospel and do what they have to do to resist the gospel. Now, if you want to ask a comment or question, please raise your hand. Caroline, raise your hand.
She's
okay.
Trying to resist.
Yeah, she is. She is trying to resist. So, what I'm looking for is Acts chapter 15. We're on question 47. been called the Jerusalem Council. It doesn't say Jerusalem Council. I don't believe there was words exactly in chapter 15, but that's what was decided. We've got to go back to Jerusalem to see what the elders, what the apostles have to say about this, what the church has to say about this. And so they went down, and the conclusion of the council was that they abstained from pollution of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. But the question was, they bake for you, Faith, so that's, and you supported what you said there. But Stephen, because they did. In chapter 6, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to, they did put him to death. Now see, exactly in chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council determined only these four things. Don't have to keep the law of Moses. But then what does Paul do? Shortly thereafter, maybe he was absent. Maybe he didn't get the memo from the Jerusalem Council. Maybe he didn't read the minutes from the Jerusalem Council. I'm not sure. But yet, he decided to proceed and go forth and have the Timothy circumcised. Okay, Mom, question 48, please.
In what chapter of the book of Acts does 185,000 souls see the church after hearing and believing the word? In Acts 4:4, I think.
Yes. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. That's Acts 4, 4. All right, let me see. Want to try it before tonight, Joe? This may be familiar, this one.
I'm kind of out of it. Tolerance on it.
I'm going to concentrate.
Maybe
I'll
skip and go to somebody else.
Okay. Tammy, question 49.
The response of the crowd. They were amazed. He confounded the Jews in Damascus, and they sought to kill him.
Yes, so that's in Acts 9:21. Their response. I mean, following. That is their response that they were having. Let's see. Brian, question 50, please.
In what chapter to the book of Acts does Scripture record people considering Barnabas as being Jupiter and Paul being Mercurius? And why were they ascribing these titles to them? One is Acts 14:12, and two, because the man crippled from his mother's womb was leaping and walking and standing upright.
Yes, and they were healed. He was healed by. That's why. They were amazed. This is the finger of God. And I can't. That's not possible. We see in question 51, to whom did Peter say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I given to thee." That was the lame in chapter 3, the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. And the result in verse 8. And he, leaping him, going back to verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Faith, question 52, please.
In the book of Acts, there's one line that Saul made havoc in the church, and many Christians persecuted, and what did many Christians do as a result of this persecution? To tell you the truth, I didn't lose either this section, but I think it was
It's just challenging. We see that we have in chapter 6, we see the selection of the deacons. Chapter 7, we have Stephen's sermon, right, Faith? In chapter 7, Stephen's sermon, we notice that men are putting their coats down at the feet of Saul. And so right there after the sermon of Stephen, we're told that Paul's making havoc in chapter 8. You see it there? In chapter 8, verses 1 and following, and Saul was continued to his death.
Okay.
And at the time, there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem, and are all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So everyone except the apostles was scattered abroad. And the devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and having men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. So this, the persecution caused them to be scattered, and also caused them to preach the word. So the persecution failed. The persecution failed. It led to the spread of the gospel, not the squelching of the gospel. You want to do 54, Mom, please. Okay, that's all right. And so we have the Acts chapter 2. And what happened earlier in Acts chapter 2 was Pentecost. Now, I guess there are a lot of events that happened in chapter 2, so it doesn't have to be just Pentecost, but as long as it happened earlier, it'll be acceptable. So, Acts chapter 2. Now, Jill, you may know this one. In 55... Can you watch out the book of Acts of Stephen's sermon recorded? Alright, you can't get it, Joel's fine. So, we have chapter 6, we know the deacons were selected. The seven deacons, they were selected. Now, we know that Stephen was one of the seven deacons, do we not? We know that Stephen is one of the seven deacons. And so then, after his selection in chapter 7 is when he gives his sermon, and also he's slain there. And what happened to Stephen at the end of the sermon we see here in verses Acts 7, verse 54 and following. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with a one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Contemporaneous time, as he was being stoned, he was calling upon the Lord. And he, kneeling down, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. All right, Tammy, question 56, please. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, 56?
Yes.
Where in the book of Acts is one reading about him examining the keepers of the prison and then executing them? That was in Acts 12:19. Mm-hmm. And for what reason did he hire Jesus? Because Peter was not in the prison under the keeper's watch.
Yes.
They called for Peter and he wasn't there.
That's right. That's right. Brian, 57. It's question 57.
In what chapter of the book of Acts is one reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ said, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put on in his own power, and to what happened shortly after Lord Jesus Christ said those words, Acts 1:7, and he was taken up into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He was from there. Oh, he was taken from there in a cloud It was taken from there's like one of those insert symbols. And
it was taken up in a cloud, received him out of his sight, right? Verse 9. Okay, so, Billy, want to try 58, Billy?
Okay, what are some observations and thoughts you had from Acts chapter 16? I should think of the jailer,
mm-hmm.
one that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Yes, that's right.
That's a good important message.
Yes, it is. That's the most important one. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith. Question 58, please.
Same.
Okay.
My dad's favorite verse.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Good. That's a good. It's a favorite verse for many people.
That chapter.
Yeah. Mom, 58, please. Question 58.
I have said jailer was saved, baptized in his household. Believe you were baptized
here. Joe, got the same or different? For question 58. Is that about the same? Okay. All right, Tammy.
Okay.
The same or different?
No,
okay.
It's hard to find myself in this place.
Yes, it is.
There. Okay, so I was noticing something I never saw before. Those two men that had that sorcerer, or that had the young damsel, that was basically a fortune teller.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21, it says, this is what their accusation was when
yes.
mm-hmm. he was brought to the magistrate, mm-hmm. Paul and Silas.
Yes.
They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. So here they were saying, what Paul and Silas were saying was wrong. Because it was going to go against everything we are as Romans. It's interesting that the Lord vindicated them at the end of the chapter.
Yes, that's right, that's right.
Because in verse 37, Paul said, "When the message came to the jailer that he could release them and they could go in peace, that Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now, do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and thrust us out." And so then they were frightened and terrified.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. so the whole that vindicated the message of salvation for the people there in Philippi that had received it.
Yes, that's very, very, very good point. I mean, at first they were saying, we can't receive this being Romans, and all of a sudden the men are really Romans. You know, mm-hmm. very, very good point. And I think, Brian, you have the same part of that. Is the same response for any more thoughts or questions or observations about chapter 16 of the book of Acts? Well, if not, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee that thou hast provided us for salvation. Same way the Philippian jailer was saved, Father, is the same way that we all have been saved. They're saved in your children, Father, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemptive work upon Calvary's cross. We do ask that we continue to help Barbara recover and get Laura to get the rest she needs this evening. And we do help ask of John and Justine. Father, we do ask that you be encouragement to Anna as she's away and help her with her internship and her other job that she's doing, Lord. Help her do an excellent job in both positions. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I have